Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Mike Connie joining me this morning here. Hugh Douglas is on vacation. Mike, do you believe this? I mean, this is like almost unprecedented.
Hugh is one of the rare people who has to be told to take vacation.
Told.
You know? Hugh. Like, Hugh, you might want to use your vacation before the year runs out. Oh, really?
Really?
I plan out my year based on the windows in which I can take vacation.
Right.
Hugh's got to, like, be urged to take vacation. So he is
model
employee
urged,
number one.
More like ordered.
Compelled. Compelled to take vacation.
I have a lot of questions, okay?
Sure.
So we're going to do a little Mike County rapid fire here to start. Atlanta United, back in action. Toronto coming up this weekend. How's mm-hmm. Joseph doing, and what do you expect to see?
Yeah, good question on Joseph. I mean, when Darren Eales was on with Dukes and Bell last week, he made it sound like the hamstring thing was very minor, very kind of low grade, I think is the way it was described. So hopefully Joseph will be okay. I know that Gonzalo Pineda gave the team the weekend off. So when they resume training, I don't know if it's today or tomorrow, but we'll probably get a better idea of where Joseph is and what his status might be for Toronto. But it does not sound like they're overly concerned about that hamstring. And remember, Joseph was not called in to World Cup qualifying with Venezuela, so he's been able to rest for the last week.
U.S. men's national team fans really upset with Greg Burkholder. George Bell starts yesterday, mm-hmm. but seven new starters, they lose to Panama, and the fans are not happy with the lineup the coach is putting out there.
Yeah, I mean, he rotated, and that's okay. I mean, you're looking at the three matches you have to play in this week. You have the best chance of getting 3 points out of your two home matches, so if you pick your road match at Panama to rotate, that's a defendable strategy, in my opinion. I think the problem with Burkholder is he rotated the wrong way. He left some good players who did not play against Jamaica last Wednesday, or Thursday rather, on the bench. I think he could have maybe rotated a little bit differently. Maybe he even over-rotated. So he deserves to be questioned for it. Now the USA has pretty much a must-win, a must-get-3-point situation against Costa Rica Wednesday in Columbus. They will be favored in that match. One thing that did help the USA last night is that Canada and Jamaica played to a draw. I think Canada's been the best team so far in the cycle. Jamaica has been easily the worst team so far in the cycle. So the fact that Jamaica was able to take 2 points off Canada last night means the U.S. is still in really good shape. It's still very early in the process. But Burkholder deserves to be questioned for, I think, going a little too hard on the rotation last night. You don't have the luxury to do that on the road.
All right. We mentioned rapid fire. Question up on our poll here this morning. Falcons, better than you expected through five games into the bye week, worse than you expected, as expected?
I would say as expected. I'm really, really still disappointed that we aren't able to have a discussion about a 3-2 team today. If they win that Washington game last week, if they're able to finish that out, we're talking about a Falcons team that's only a game out of first place right now. And you're having a much different conversation going into the bye and then looking ahead at what you would hope to be a winnable game at Miami coming out of the bye. Instead, now you're 2-3. You're still two games out of first. Regardless, I think you're seeing them take some incremental steps. Defensively, I think they took a big step towards improvement on Sunday. Very, very encouraged to see that defense playing as shorthanded as they did. I thought Arch was really dead on. Aside from the last drive of the game where the game state is totally different when you're up by multiple scores, I thought that Falcons defense did a really, really good job holding the Jets in check. Yes, it's the Jets, but that is an NFL team. So they're about where I thought they would be. I was hoping the Falcons would be on either side, maybe a game on either side of 500 this year, and right now they're one game under 500, which is what I thought.
The Braves, 2 of 3, best 2 out of 3 now. They get the big split in Milwaukee. So they have home field in a best 2 out of 3. So how confident are you now going into the game today that maybe the Braves have this?
Yeah, I'm confident, but you got to win today. Ian Anderson's got to take care of business today. Your goal on Friday and Saturday was to get a road split. You were really close, I thought, to winning both games on the road, to be totally fair. Ian Anderson's got to take care of business today. If he does, then you know that you have a clinch game at home. Takes the pressure off a little bit for tomorrow in game 4. You lose today, you know you're going to have to go back to Milwaukee if you want to win this series, and that could make it very, very tough.
Doing a little rapid fire with Mike Conley this morning with John Fricke. All right, let's go to college football here. Georgia, unanimous number one, yeah. And it is the first time, and that stat I read earlier, which just surprised me, I tweeted about it. This is the first time since 1982 that Georgia has been number one in the regular season.
Yeah.
That is shocking
to me. December 6, 1982. Yeah. And we all know what happened to that 1982 Georgia team, right? They lost the national championship game to the Penn State Nittany Lions, right?
Yeah, that was down in the Sugar Bowl.
I don't get to brag much to my Georgia and SEC fans. Yes, that was Todd Blackledge. It's funny. I tweeted that stat yesterday, and immediately I got all kinds of Georgia fans lashing out at me. That's not true. It is true. No, that's not true. Yes, it is true. I do know they were number one in the college football playoff rankings in 2017, but this is different. I mean, I think Georgia fans kind of forget that between 1984 and 2001, Georgia was far from an elite program, and you have to give a lot of credit to Mark Richt and now Kirby Smart for getting Georgia to where they are. But it's huge. It puts Georgia in the driver's seat, and quite frankly, it puts Georgia in the driver's seat with a margin for error now, where if they do get clipped, say, honestly, that Tennessee game starts to worry me a little bit, but if they do get clipped somewhere, you know, whether it be Florida, Tennessee, even this weekend to Kentucky, they still have a margin for error where they can go to the SEC championship game and potentially lose again to Alabama, and you could still maybe get two SEC teams in. So Georgia's absolutely in the driver's seat right now. I thought they looked really, really solid at Auburn on Saturday. What was it, a completely dominating performance? No, but I thought it was very, very solid in a tough road environment. Now we know that Georgia and Stetson Bennett can pass that test. I think Stetson Bennett's done a really, really good job. I think it's one of the
I agree. I think it's more underrated
stories in college football this year. And honestly, and I heard you talking with Mike Griffith last hour, I don't think it's a slam dunk that JT Daniels gets his job back just with the snap of a finger when he's fully healthy and ready to go. I think Stetson Bennett has played well enough to maybe get another start against Kentucky on Saturday.
Well, you know, this defense.
Elite.
Oh, it is. I mean, this is why I'm a huge Georgia fan, and I want Georgia fans to understand this. Kentucky is not moving the ball on you. And yeah, Tennessee might, because Hendon Hooker can move the ball, but Tennessee isn't stopping you on offense. You're going to score 45 points. All you got to do is get 2 or 3 stops against Hooker, and you're going to get to him at some point. So, yeah, there's not much between Georgia and a showdown with Alabama. As a matter of fact, I don't think there's anything. So I think Georgia's almost a virtual lock for the playoff, and maybe I think they're the favorites to win the national title.
I think so, too. And John, let me interrupt. I'm sorry. I watched Iowa, obviously, for 4 hours.
I was about to go to that card.
They were playing against Penn State. The margin between Georgia and Iowa
is large.
Georgia would beat Iowa by 3 touchdowns on a neutral field.
Easy.
Iowa, I don't know if Iowa would score a touchdown against Georgia. I know that sounds maybe a little aggressive, and people are probably rolling their eyes at that. I really believe, based on what I saw from Iowa on Saturday, they would struggle to score a touchdown against Georgia. Now, Georgia might struggle to move the ball on Iowa. Iowa's got a really good defense, very, very opportunistic, but Penn State was moving the ball with Sean Clifford. And when Sean Clifford got hurt, Penn State's starting quarterback, the game was essentially over. I was just talking to Sean in the bullpen. If Sean Clifford completes the pass on which he was hurt, Penn State's got a 21-3 lead. That game is over. at 21-3, even if Clifford doesn't play for the final 2.5 quarters. So just goes to show you, the injury to the starting quarterback had a huge effect on that game. I was very, very underwhelmed by Iowa. I do not believe them to be the second-best team in the country. On resume, they are. On resume, they are the second-best team in the country. But eye test-wise, on a neutral field, Georgia would shut out Iowa as far as touchdowns are concerned. It would be like a 34-3, 34-6 type game.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, your eyes don't lie to you. Alabama, this is the least Alabama team,
yeah.
You know, and I don't mean to say that in a negative way, the least Alabama team we've seen Nick Saban have in maybe close to a decade. And it's a good team, okay, but they're flawed. They were flawed against Florida. They were certainly flawed against Texas A&M. They're flawed on the defensive side of the football. Their offensive line is only, you know, by Alabama standards, okay. So, look, there's nothing that says that Alabama not going to be, you know, beaten again here before they get to the SEC title game. So, you know, that's not necessarily a given.
100%. And you do wonder who is the second-best team in the SEC West right now. You would think it'd be Ole Miss, but they already had their crack at Alabama and they lost. You know, Auburn now has lost twice, once in the non-conference. Who is that second-best team in the SEC West that might be able to get Alabama? And then, I mean, do you have Alabama potentially either missing a chance to go to Atlanta, going back to the Citrus Bowl, or going into the SEC championship game with two losses and a third loss knocks him out of the playoff? It's going to be really, really fascinating. But I am really struggling from an eye test standpoint to come up with a number two team in the country right now.
I agree. I am too, because it's not Iowa.
I don't think it's Iowa. I don't think it's Oklahoma.
It might be Ohio State eventually. I mean, it might be.
Abe was in my ear. What did you say, John?
I said it might be Ohio State eventually.
I think it might be Ohio State right now. I mean, Ohio State, I mean, granted, it was against Maryland, and there was some kind of odd stuff turnover-wise that happened in that game, but Ohio State looked really convincing to me. But Ohio State has a home loss to Oregon. I mean, where do you put Oregon in that discussion? Because their loss was in overtime. Oregon's injuries certainly scare me a little bit going forward, but – yeah, I mean, I don't think it's Cincinnati. I don't think it's Oklahoma. I certainly don't think it's Michigan or Michigan State. Kentucky's resume is impressive, but I don't think it's Kentucky.
I think Georgia's going to beat Kentucky by 3 touchdowns.
I agree. I don't think it's Notre Dame. So now you're really going down the list. I mean, is Oklahoma State in that discussion?
No.
Based on their schedule, I don't think so.
And
their games have been close.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to stay even keel about Georgia right now. You don't want to get anyone's hopes up because we've been here before with Georgia. But it's starting to feel like if Georgia doesn't do it this year, when are they going to do it?
Yeah, when are they going to do it? Because I think they are clearly the number one team.
I am with you. I don't think anyone's even close to them right now. And that includes Alabama. I don't think anyone's even close.
Mike, as always, do appreciate that.
Okay, guys. See ya.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.